Well, go ahead and turn over to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4 is where we're going to be today. And we're finally getting back into our sermon series after Thanksgiving and Christmas and us being gone for a couple of weeks. Finally getting back into 2 Timothy. So we're going to be focusing in today on verses 1 through 5. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. As we kind of come to the end here of 2 Timothy, chapter 4 obviously is the last chapter of the book. We're in part 9, and I think after today there'll probably be a couple of more sermons after this, and then we'll be done and move on to the next thing. But here we are in the very last chapter of 2 Timothy. Again, these are Paul's final words right before he was murdered, executed for his faith. But leading up to this point, for roughly 30 years, Paul had spent, had traveled all over the known world sharing the gospel. He was a missionary, and he had given his life to this thing, after becoming a follower of Christ, he had given his life to this one very important task. And now he's coming close to surrendering his life because of his faith. So these last words to Timothy are kind of filled with some urgency as we see the Paul understanding what was coming very soon. And this very last chapter of Paul's letter to Timothy repeat some very important themes that he'd already stressed to his beloved son in the faith. Timothy was a beloved son. He wasn't his actual physical son, but he was a son in the faith, somebody that Paul had invested a lot of time in. And so these words are really important. And as he is coming to the end, he's repeating some things once again to Timothy. And listen, if you want to stress the importance of something, especially at the end of your life, you repeat it, right? Because we have to hear over and over again sometimes to really grasp something. And this is exactly what Paul is doing here. And before we read the rest of the verses here, I want us to focus in just real quick on verse 1. Let's read that together. And I want to say a few things about that, then we'll get into our outline. But I just want to focus on this first. Look at verse 1 there. Paul says, "I solemnly charge you before God and Christ Jesus, who is going to judge the living and the dead, and because of his appearing and his kingdom." I want you to notice there, Paul is saying to Timothy, he's saying to us today, that a day is coming when Jesus will stand as our judge. And he's going to judge those who have already died. He's going to judge those who are still living after he returns. And first of all, he's going to judge as to whether or not we have repented of our sin and accepted him as Lord and Savior. But secondly, sometimes we forget about this judgment. We think about the first judgment, God judging those who are not Christians. But secondly, there's going to be a judgment for us as Christians as to the way that we have lived our lives as we followed our Lord and Savior. And that judgment obviously does not determine salvation. We've already accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior because we understand that we're saved by grace through faith in Christ alone. This judgment will be a time where we must give an account of our lives in our service to Jesus. And we as believers, the Bible says that we're going to be rewarded in heaven according to our faithfulness to Christ, including how well we've carried out the Great Commission. And so as Paul is finishing this letter to Timothy, in a sense, he's charging Timothy and for us, listen, we need to store up for ourselves treasures in heaven rather than build our earthly kingdoms. And he reminded Timothy to focus on what's most important in life. And we're going to get into that now as we read verses 2 through 5 together. So let's look at and see what Paul shares with Timothy to focus on the most important things in his life. Verses 2 through 5. He says, "Proclaim the message, persist in it whether convenient or not, rebuke, correct, and encourage with great patience and teaching. For the time will come when they will not tolerate sound doctrine, but according to their own desires will multiply teachers for themselves because they have an itch to hear something new. They will turn away from hearing the truth and will turn aside to myths. But as for you, be serious about everything, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. So what do we see here? What is Paul telling Timothy to focus on? What is he saying is most important in life? The first thing he says there in verse 2, number one in our outline, very simply, Timothy, proclaim the message, right? Proclaim the message. And guys, we need to understand something. As we think about this letter to Timothy, it's a letter to us as well. And here's the thing. Our primary purpose in life as followers of Christ, our primary purpose in Christ is to preach the message of the gospel. This is why Paul said this to Timothy. He's saying, Timothy, I want you to be passionate about the gospel. And the thing we have to understand, and listen, I don't think about this often in my life, but the Lord kind of brought it to my mind this week. Do we realize that we are believers in Christ today because somebody like Timothy was faithful to proclaim the gospel to us, right? We're believers in Christ today. We're here today. We know Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior because somebody was faithful to proclaim that message to us. Whoever that was, somebody different for all of us, but somebody was faithful to proclaim that message. It's hard to believe as we think about our society today. It's hard to believe that half of the people who have ever lived are alive today, and a large majority of them don't know Christ. I looked at some statistics, and I think I've got them there for you. In our world today, there's 17,446 people groups in the world. So over 17,000 different types of people group that live all over the world. And of those 17,000, do you realize that 7,425 of them are unreached? That means there is no current access to the gospel. There is no church. There is no evangelical emphasis. There is no known Christians among those people. They are lost without Jesus. 7,425 unreached people groups. That makes up about 3.3 billion people in our world, or about 42.5% that are unreached in our world today. That is something that we don't often think about. But that is exactly what is going on in the world today. I'm thinking closer to home. I read an article recently in Fox News that published an article back in January 9th, just a couple of weeks ago. In 2022, 33% of Americans reported that they never attended a religious service, compared to 25% before the pandemic. Guys, that's over one-third of our population of America. Our America has a population of about 334 million people. So that means last year in 2022, over 110 million people in America never stepped foot inside of any kind of church at all, for any reason at all, in 2022. And that tells me, as I think about statistics like that worldwide and then in our country today, we have moved from a post-Christian culture to a pre-Christian culture. We are missionaries in a foreign country, and like missionaries overseas, we have to figure out a way to reach our culture with the gospel. And when it comes to the gospel, Paul says that we need to persist in it. That's the next point. As we think about proclaiming the gospel, how does he say to do it? He says, persist whether it's convenient or not. In verse 2. Maybe your translation says, be ready in season and out of season. It's the same verbiage. In the Greek language, the words in season and out seasons means timely or untimely, or convenient or inconvenient. Another occurrence of this phrase is found over in Mark chapter 14, verse 11, where Judas was looking for a timely opportunity to betray Jesus. And like Timothy, We're commanded to be ready for God's work. I think sometimes, and we're probably all guilty of this, is we kind of have a mindset of checking in and out of our faith, right? We like to compartmentalize things. You know, we go to work and we do our work stuff, and then when we go to church, we do our church stuff, and we do our work stuff in this amount of time, and then we do our church stuff in this amount of time, and we kind of separate them out. We compartmentalize our faith, believing that, you know, we represent God at church or spiritual functions, but not necessarily throughout the week. We turn it off and on. But guys, we have to understand something, that our faith is always a part of us, no matter where we are. And we should always be ready to share with others the hope of the gospel. Many of you, the majority of you, the large majority of you, probably everybody here but me, has a secular job. That means you're in a world that is not necessarily thinking about spiritual things, or you go to school in a secular school. And so you're around people who don't know Christ. And so we go to our jobs and we go to our schools and we do our jobs and we do our schoolwork. And sometimes we don't think about the spiritual needs of people around us. But what if God is calling you to be a witness where you're at, in your job or in your school or in your home or in your neighborhood? We can't turn off our faith because we're not at church. We can't turn off our faith because we're not studying the Bible. Our faith is a part of who we are always. You know, for me, it's a little bit different. I understand I'm a pastor, and my job is to do spiritual things and directing the food pantry. There's a spiritual aspect of that. And, you know, and it's a little bit difficult for me, but, you know, in a sense, when I go on vacation, I don't turn off church mode, okay? When I go on vacation, I'm still a Christian. And so it's important for me to be a Christian in those settings. Our faith is always a part of who we are, no matter where we are. And we should always be ready to share with others the hope of the gospel. We have to be ready when the opportunity presents itself. So proclaim the gospel, Paul says to Timothy. He says, do it whether convenient or not. What's the next thing he says in the latter part of verse 2? He says, rebuke, correct, and encourage. Sometimes we leave off that last part, with patience. Okay? Rebuke, correct, and encourage with patience. Rebuke in the Greek means to reprimand or convict by exposing something that is wrong. Correct in the Greek language means to set things right. Encourage in the Greek means to come alongside and comfort someone. And so Paul says to Timothy, he says to us, when you rebuke with God's word, when you correct with God's word, when you encourage with God's word, you're to do all these things with the attitude of being patient toward other people. When we rebuke someone by exposing their sin, we're to be patient with them. When we correct someone to help them set things right, we're to do so with patience. When we come alongside someone and encourage them, we're to do so with patience. Patience and careful instruction assure that rebuking and correcting and encouraging are done with compassion and done for the right reasons. It's not to belittle people. It's not to look like you're more spiritual than them. It's not to put them down in front of other people for embarrassment. It's to lift them back up and get them back on the right track and encourage them to be who God has called them to be. So if you're a person that we all know people that like to be blunt, right? Well, I like blunt people. Do you really? Do you like people to be blunt in your life and point out things that you know internally that you're really struggling with, and somebody just, you know, just throws this grenade in there and just lets it blow up somewhere? Do you like people like that? There are some people that like to be blunt. I'm going to lay it on you. I'm just going to be honest with you. Well, if you're a person who likes to be blunt, remember we're to be patient and compassionate when we rebuke and correct others with God's word. We have to be careful. So Paul's not saying to Timothy, don't do these things. He's saying, do them, yes. It's important to understand and point people to Scripture. Expose their sin. Point them to the truth. Help them to see that what they're doing is wrong. Correct them, rebuke them, encourage them. Jesus did the same thing. Look at it in the times that he encountered people. Think about the woman at the well. He didn't say what she was doing with her life was okay, but he offered her good news and a way out. And we have to do the same thing. So as we proclaim the word, we have to persist whether it's convenient or not. We have to rebuke and encourage with patience. But as we think about that, why do these things matter? Why does it matter to proclaim the word? Why does it matter that we do it with persistence? Why does it matter that we do it with patience? The bottom line is because people need to hear the truth of God's word. People need to know the truth. Listen, you know as well as I do today that people believe all kinds of wacky things, right? A lot of you know that Leslie and I just went on a trip. And one of the people that we encountered, that we shared with, who was into the religion of that culture, one of the things that he said to me is something that I have never heard in my entire life. And listen, I know that I'm not real old. You know, people say, well, you're still young. You're only 52. But 52 is older to these guys over here, right? So I've been around for a while. I've been in ministry for a while. I've been around spiritual things for a while. And somebody told me something, Leslie and I, something that I had never heard before. And this is what he told us. He was talking about his mom and dad, how much he loved them, how important they were to him, that they actually lived with him. And in that culture where we were, you see multi-generations living together. And he had a high respect for his mom and dad. But then that was all well and good. And this is what he told me. He said, my mom and dad are my God. And I didn't know what to say. That sounds pretty wacky to me. And the person that was with us over there said, yeah, I love my parents too, but they're still sinful people. People believe some wacky things. We see all these beliefs around us. We live in a day and time where people like to shop around, even in church, to find someone who'll tell them what they want to hear. And you know what? We don't like to be told that we're wrong, right? People want to hear what they're doing is okay, but a lot of times what they're doing is not okay, and people need to hear the truth, whether they believe it or not. Coach Tony Dungy, read about him this week and some of the things that he's gone through in his life, because this man, who was a great NFL coach who led the Indianapolis Colts to a Super Bowl win several years ago, is a strong believer in Christ and very pro-life, and he went and he stood among people in Washington this week for the Walk of Life, for the pro-life movement, and he was roasted by the media. People, his colleagues, even saying he should be fired from NBC. He's one of the guys that's a commentator on NBC Sports. Because the man stood up for his faith, proclaiming, this is what the Bible says. This is what I believe. People need to hear the truth, whether they believe or not. And you know what's funny? I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. And listen, I've been guilty of this in my own life. It's funny how we think that we're the experts in everything, right? Social media has kind of made us that way. You know, we think that we're experts because in a wide range of topics, and just because we've read a couple of articles on the internet or follow somebody on Twitter that supports our point of view, all those things, it's because we read a couple of articles, because we follow somebody on Twitter that supports what we believe, does not make us an expert. Doesn't make you a scientist or a doctor or a coach or a president or an expert in anything. Because that's a worldly point of view. It's okay to have an opinion, but your opinion doesn't make you an expert. God's word should always be our source for truth. And that's what we have to point people to, is God's word. Remember what God said over in Philippians chapter, or Paul said in Philippians chapter 2? I guess God said it because he inspired him to write it. But God said that he opposes those who are proud. He exalts those who are humble. This means that God opposes the so-called know-it-alls. So let's try to follow Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11 for a change. Go read it for yourself. Study it, learn it, live it. That's why it matters that we point people to Scripture, because Scripture is our source for truth. Amen? Scripture is non-negotiable, right? That's why when people don't agree with us, we don't cave. We don't say, you know what, it would be easier to believe this way of life or this set of rules or this way of thinking because it's going to make people like us even more. It's real easy to say, well, Jesus says to love everybody. Yeah, that's true, but it doesn't mean that we have to disobey his word. Jesus does love everybody. I'm thankful for that. Jesus loved and saved a sinner like me and a sinner like you, but that doesn't mean we can just live how we want to. We have to follow God's word, whether it's popular in our culture or not. And there is a way to do it. There is a way to stand firm. There is a way. We just have to do it. So we have to point people to Scripture, proclaim the Scripture, do it with persistence. Be humble as we do it. And then finally, what does Paul say there in verse 5? Point number 2 in our outline. Paul says to Timothy, Timothy, fulfill your ministry. Finally, Paul encourages Timothy to fully carry out his ministry. In other words, don't be half-hearted. Don't settle for good enough. Don't fizzle out. Do whatever God has called you to do and do it joyfully. And in case you're wondering what our main calling is, we always go back to Matthew 28, right? Matthew 28, 19 and 20. What is that? The Great Commission, right? Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you, and remember I am with you always to the very end of the age. That's a promise. And guys, that is our goal. That is our job as Christians. You don't have to wait for a sign from God or something to fall down from heaven and bop you on the head to get you to understand. This is God's will for us. Amen? The Great Commission. It's why we do what we do here at church. It's why we give to Lottie Moon. It's why we give to Annie Armstrong. It's why we give to other missionaries. It's why we have Vacation Bible School. It's why we do everything we do. Every dollar that we spend, every committee decision that we make has the gospel in mind. Otherwise, we're just a club that likes to get together. That is our number one job. Now we all come from different walks of life, and we may all accomplish this in many different ways. Most of us have secular jobs. I'm fortunate enough to have a non-secular job. But our jobs are all equally important. It's still what we've been called to do. And in this letter, Paul was speaking, as he was speaking to Timothy, yeah, this is a pastoral epistle. He's speaking to pastors. He's speaking pastor to pastor. And along with every other minister in the world, we have to take these words to heart. But it's a mistake to think that this passage doesn't apply to every one of us. Because it does. And you may not make your living as a minister, you may not make your living as a full-time missionary, but you still have the responsibility to share the truth of the gospel. So who is it in your life who needs to hear? Is it your kids or your grandkids? We've often said, our kids or our grandkids, that's our number one mission field, right? We have to share the gospel with them. We have to display the gospel before them. Who needs to hear? Your children or grandchildren? Your coworkers? Your schoolmates? Your neighbors? Your friends? Lots of people that God has put us around that need to hear. That's why we all have to preach the word and do so urgently. And Paul is urging us to take our responsibility seriously. So we have to be alert. We have to be aware. Our eyes have to be open. We have to pray. We have to look for opportunities. We have to listen to people. We have to pray for people. We have to be ready, whether it's convenient or not, in season or out of season. Be ready to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. I'm going to have Andrew come and sing a song for us. I asked him to do it this week, and it's a song that maybe you've heard of years ago. It was written by a man named Steve Green. The song is called People Need the Lord. Andrew's going to sing this song for us this morning, and I want you to listen to the words. We will have them displayed up here, but I want you to just listen to the words. Let the Lord sing this song over you. And maybe there's a decision as he sings this song that you need to make, a commitment that you need to make to the Lord, a promise that you need to make to the Lord. Maybe somebody that God has been bringing to your mind, to your heart, that you need to pray for and share with, or ask God to give you an opportunity to share the gospel with them. Start there. Start just by praying. And then as you pray, you're going to see that God will give you those opportunities. And guess what? The words of the Great Commission are true. I'll be with you to the very end of the age. The Holy Spirit empowers us to do what he's called us to do. Jesus didn't say, okay, do it, you're on your own. He says, no, I want you to do it, and here's the best part. I'm going to go with you every step of the way. I'm going to empower you to do what I've called you to do. I'm not going to leave you alone. That's why the Holy Spirit came. Go back and read Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit came, entered the people. They spoke the word of God with boldness in languages that other people could hear, and many people came to know Christ that day. And the moment that you and I trusted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, guess what? The Holy Spirit took up residence in our lives. He lives within us today and will empower us to do what he's called us to do. So we don't have to be scared. We don't have to be fearful. We don't have to be anxious. God will give us the words to say. He'll give us the heart that we need. We just have to listen and be obedient. So listen to this song. Let God do business in your heart today as Andrew sings this song over us.
I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go through private pain, living fear to fear. Laughter hides the silent cries, only Jesus hears. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken is the open door. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. When will we realize people need the called to take his light
Do you believe that this morning? People need the Lord. People are broken. They're living in brokenness, and they need Jesus. We have the answer. I don't know what else will motivate us other than to see the hearts of people. When Jesus saw the crowds, the Bible says that his heart literally broke because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. They were harassed by life and they were helpless to do anything about it. And that's why Jesus did what he did. And that's why we've been called for a purpose that is much greater than us. And listen, I understand, again, that most of you, all of you, have secular jobs and secular situations. And I know it can be a difficult situation. It's not ideal. But you're so vital. I want you to understand that your position, wherever you are, at school or work or in your neighborhood, it matters. It's a calling in and of itself. Whether you're a pastor or a preacher or a minister or a missionary, your position that God has you in is a calling. He's put you in that position for such a time as this. Maybe he'll move you on one day. Maybe you'll stay there until you retire. But wherever you are, God has you there for a reason. Be who God has called you to be, where he's called you to be. Proclaim the word. Be persistent in it. Do it whether it's convenient or not. People need to know the truth. They need to see Jesus, whether it's comfortable or not. And fulfill the ministry that God has for you. He has a ministry for each and every one of us, including you, and the job that you do, he has a ministry for you. Father, we thank you today for all these things. And Lord, we're thankful for the message that we've heard. Father, I thank you for Paul's encouragement to Timothy to proclaim, to be persistent, to rebuke and correct, encourage with patience, to fulfill his ministry, endure hardship, all the things that he said, Lord, that can apply to us today. I pray that we would put ourselves in that place and that we would live in that place and do what you've called us to do and to be faithful to do what you've called us to do. I thank you for these precious people here at Bogey Hills. Lord, they work hard. They give their money to missions and ministry of this church. And because of that, we know that people are coming to know Christ. And I pray that we would continue doing those things, giving, serving, praying, proclaiming. Lord, just instill in us to keep doing these things, to persist, as Paul told Timothy, because it is doing good. Father, we love you so much. We thank you and we praise you. And we ask all this in the powerful name of Jesus, and we pray together. Amen.